Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Great to be with you on a Thursday. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency for all your equipment financing needs. Go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark is anchored in the studio. Hope you're doing all right. As we dive forward now, as we hold our breath till spring football starts, a little basketball to get into and finish up, and plenty of insight as well. Brandon Vogel going to join us from HailVarsity.com and Magazine in about 20 minutes. Get Vogue's take on the class and the Matt Rhule era. As, 24 hours ago, we're chopping up audio and reacting, getting ready to talk about Rhule's press conference and the class. We'll throw some of our two cents in on some names to watch. It's inexact for sure, and really good story that we'll parse through from Max Olson from The Athletic, as it's been another study of the transfer portal and the top 50 quarterbacks. So we'll get there. How many stayed? How many left? How many thrived, and how many just, kind of hung in and collected gear. So we'll talk about that. We'll get the quarterback and recruiting thoughts as well from Gary Barnett in 1 hour. Coach Barnett will join us at 5:05. And then Amir Abdullah will join us, get his take on some Nebraska football stuff, his time with the Raiders, and also what he enjoyed and some insight to Matt Rhule. How much contact was there between Matt Rhule and Amir Abdullah about Nebraska? So we'll talk with Amir Abdullah at 5:25. Can watch the show, can stream the show, ways to get involved and in touch with us. Easy to do. ESPN Lincoln Facebook, ESPN Lincoln Twitter, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, and Hail Varsity Radio Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Catch Damon and Andrew in the morning, 7 to 9. Catch us, Hail Varsity, 4 to 6 on the way home with the Hail Varsity Radio Twitter handle. Last thought, phone number to get in at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Guys, pretty apparent from Coach Rhule, it's really not a day later to exhale. The sprint continues, and I still think, that's been the talk and the buzz here leading up to signing day and then after signing day. Okay, this is the talent you accumulated. This is the talent you miraculously, quite frankly, put together with 28 high school kids, 11 portal kids in little less than 2 months. And, okay, now go forward. And by all intents and purposes, Nebraska, from a ranking standpoint, isn't far off or has been right about where they've always been. Despite a coaching change, you had a guy come in and really grind to get it done. And there's a lot of questions for Nebraska moving forward. Portal hits, high school contributors early, and then what about the guys that are still on the roster? Where do they go? How much improvement do they make and have in a spring to get ready for fall? And then there's the excitement of fall, right? And then, of course, the 2024 cycle and 2025. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there's still the Raiola apple that is out there. So still a lot of football to get into. But overall, the theme of speed is going to be good. And, Rhule is going to go high school first, but it's okay to sprinkle and supplement what's going on in the portal. So we'll spend some time on that. What's up with your home state, Connor, and the Illinois student section pulling a monster fraud or trying to?
I don't know. I don't claim them.
Okay.
You've heard about this, though, right?
Yes, no, I have. With the orange crush situation.
The orange crush, just to reset this, it's not quite the Harvard-Yale prank where you where you handed out cards and when the other team scored, you held it up and it said, we suck. It's not quite British Premier League soccer and how nasty the hooligans get after one another, but it does take a special type personality to pose as a non-profit boys and girls club to secure tickets.
Well, because they do that every year. They do the one trip a year. And from what I understand from friends that go there and from people who I've met that have gone there, the Orange Crush is, you have to apply to get into it. It's like a very big, like,
are you branded
thing.
Like it's Yellowstone?
Well, it's a big charitable organization,
yeah.
Actually, the Orange Crush.
It is.
To get on this trip in general, so this year is going to be to Iowa City, obviously. To get on this yearly trip, you have to raise a certain amount of money for local charities, and then once you do that, then you can buy your ticket through the student section and go on the trip.
The heart is in the right place for this.
Yeah, yes. The problem is that this year they posed as the Illinois Boys and Girls Club and bought, I believe it was 250 tickets to Carver Hawkeye Arena. It was approved. Why they're angry is they're like, either you guys knew this whenever we bought the tickets, or you guys just waited until 3 days before the game to dunk on us and do well on social media. That's why they're upset, because they're like, we've been doing
their
this
tickets
every
have been revoked.
Year. This is a very well-known tradition that occurs in college basketball. If you didn't see this order for 250 tickets coming from Champaign, Illinois, that was for the Boys and Girls Club, like, you should immediately know, oh, that's probably the Orange Crush pulling the yearly prank. So I think that's where their anger comes from. I will say, I think it's one of the cooler traditions in Big Ten basketball, the fact that they go travel on the road, and then before the game starts, like just before opening tip-off, they take off the clothes of whatever school that they're at. So this year would have been Iowa. They would have been decked out in Iowa.
I didn't know that.
So they go in there actually posing like they're fans until just before tip-off, and then they go whip off the Iowa gear, whatever gear it is.
They go in camo.
You know what?
Yes.
You should just go in there wearing your orange. I mean, who cares?
Like, right.
Rep your, it's not like rep you're your school.
Rolling, it's not like you're rolling into Arrowhead or Mile High.
Well, and then like think about the team factor here, too, where this Illinois basketball team, they don't know the Orange Crush is going to be there until a couple moments before tip-off, and then, oh, now we have a 250-person student section contingent cheering us on, wearing red just as loud as the entire rest of the arena, because I'm sure they're all liquored up for this. Like, it's a great tradition. Like, there's a whole bunch of videos of the Illinois basketball team, like, pointing in the crowds just for tip-off going, oh, the Orange Crush is here. Like, it's a great tradition. I think it's disappointing that Iowa, I see it from both sides, it's disappointing that Iowa went and revoked the tickets, because it is a great tradition, but I also understand them going, well, why
can't
would we
have that many folks in our...
We can't have that many folks here, and let's give these tickets off to a better
cause. Okay, but like...
And then you have a reason for it. They posed as somebody else.
Fraudulent activity.
That's definitely the best reason why, but it... Say that doesn't happen, and if the reason why they're revoking tickets is because you don't want the opposing fans in your building, I mean, that's just a part of it, especially... If you're a Big Ten school that has a pretty solid basketball program, which Iowa does, and you're playing Illinois, who has a pretty solid basketball program, it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, you want to hear some of these past trips that they've done? Because some of them are hilarious. In 2007, they posed as the Chicago Area Penn State Alumni Association in order to get into a Penn State game.
Why?
They got
for basketball?
They got floor-level seats right next to the Penn State student section.
Well, it's because everyone can get floor-level seats next to the student
cave.
Section.
Let's see. They... In 2005, they posed as Youth Action, a fictitious Chicago area youth group. that got them front row seats at the Chrysler Arena at Michigan.
They were
also offered a tour of the Chrysler Arena, but declined.
Oh, my gosh.
Instead, the entire group took a photo opportunity with then-coach Tommy Amaker.
That's hilarious.
200 people took a picture with the coach, and they didn't reveal themselves.
Tommy was shown the door. Reason number two was the student section debacle.
My respect for Illinois is just going way up right now. That is hysterical.
It's hilarious. Now Iowa's gone and ruined the tradition this year. That was the best
thing
I saw.
Those are some great fake organizations.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some well-thought-out stuff. You see this come into the ticket request. All right, maybe it's a big game, maybe it's not. And if you're Penn State, you just want warm bodies to buy more hot dogs and soda, presumably, most years. Has anyone ever ransacked Nebraska? I mean, I know the Antlers would make their way in, and the Antlers were an angry group of Missourians that would, well, they'd have antlers on their hats or some sort of T-shirt. The antlers, as urban legend had it, I think kidnapped Little Red during the 97 Nebraska-Missouri game and drug him up into the student section.
I mean, everybody seems to hate Little Red, though, so they probably didn't mind it.
No, well, I mean, unfortunately, Little Red made it out was the problem. But
the Orange Crush did, in fact, invade Nebraska on February 18th, 2012. Nebraska beat Illinois 80-57 in that game, and Illinois was sitting in the nosebleeds.
Okay. Well, there you go. Section 300 pre-PBA of the old Devaney Center. I got it. Yeah, the old wooden seats.
That was the final year of the Devaney Center, if I remember correctly.
It was. Yeah, you guys can come here. Let's go to the phones here in a moment. But, no, this is pretty ingenious by the Illinois fan base. And good for them with the charity that they try and do or do to then take that next step and get on the road. Nebraska fans don't need to pose. They do their talking with cold, hard cash for Boulder, mm-hmm. for Minnesota, for Ireland, from a football standpoint. And there's a few folks. I mean, you do see some red on the road when it comes to basketball.
But there is something special about, like, not having your own little mini section, like actually just being that one lone person in the sea full. Like, I went and sat in the Iowa student section a couple years ago, and it was one of the most fun game day experiences I ever had because the Iowa fans hated me. Yes, exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
That makes it more fun.
We found our way into the buff student section in 97. Thankfully,
and you lived to tell the tale.
No, I sat by three guys from small town Nebraska, and they walked in with two suitcases of Bush Light. They just walked into the stadium with them. The security guard didn't care, and then he had trust fund pukes trying to start a fight with guys that, like, wear overalls for real and don't wear sleeves, all right, from rural Nebraska. I'm not knocking. I'm saying it was, like, 25 degrees, and they didn't care. And it was on, and let's just say trust fund Boulder kids didn't win as they're throwing Buff fans. Nebraska's up 21-3, throwing Buff fans out of the way that are, you know, mocking him right before halftime, and then have a beer. It was great. It was awesome. So yeah, I live to tell about it. There's a lot of bark with Buffs, but not so much bite. Who's with us?
We have Tom on the line.
Okay, Tom, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. Hi. Yeah, Illinois student section did that at a basketball game back at Devaney. Mm-hmm. When
right,
Sadler
2012. Elijah just kind of laid out it was a blowout win for Nebraska.
It was. They were, to the left of me, about 20 rows up, kind of about two-thirds mm-hmm. of the way up. I thought, gosh, before the game, what's a bunch of student section kids doing clear up there? But all of a sudden, they started cheering and chanting, and I looked, and it went from red to orange. My God, they just would not shut up.
Uh-huh. Well, good for Doc.
But yeah,
delivering a blow.
They got the lead and beat them convincingly, and they didn't have much to cheer about the last 10 or 15 minutes of the game.
No,
which was nice.
It was good. Tom, thanks for the phone call. Good to hear from you, bud. We got to talk to Markowski next week about the Antlers. Because that's the group that's, I don't want to say deadly, but divisive from Missouri. He's mentioned them,
like,
before.
2 years ago, once or twice, he mentioned them, but I want to get the full in-depth,
like,
story.
They do their research on players pre-iPhone. Like ex-girlfriend, girlfriend,
that's
pregnancies.
Like some high school
stuff. it was brutal.
you want to hear a good story real quick?
Yes.
When Logan Foster, Husker baseball player for your team.
Yeah.
Whenever he's down at Texas A&M, he went and played at Ole Miss, and he was playing in right field, which is right in front of the Ole Miss student section. Who was in the Ole Miss student section but my buddy Grant, who was good friends with Logan back in high school and had all the dirt on him and passed it around.
Oh,
why?
No.
He totally backstabbed Logan,
yeah,
but
what?
It was like It was like,
why
it was like I know we're friends, but we're not going to be friends for this weekend because I'm Team Ole Miss today.
No.
Wow.
You don't sell your buddy out. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Yeah,
jeez.
So like family information, ex-girlfriends, all that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Man. So the Ole Miss student, did he sell the information?
No, I just gave it away free of charge. I think Ole Miss got the series victory that weekend, so it paid off.
That's unbelievable.
That is no good. You got to talk to your boy down at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Jeez. You're like, you don't care.
They do it differently down there.
He was entertaining for you. Uh-huh. So, well, Vogues can shed some light, too, maybe on the Antlers. But no, I just know that, like, whenever I'd go to Nebraska basketball games, and there'd be a few Missouri fans that would roll up. This is back in the Devaney days. There's about 8 or 9 super seniors that were Missouri fans that were in the Devaney Center, and they were all sorts. They had the antler T-shirt or hat or something going, and they were not to be reckoned with. And then especially on the road, the antler section. I think they've been disbanded, but man, they were like the Delta House of traveling fan bases with Missouri. I don't know who Bluto was or Pinto was, but they were good at intimidating, and at one point commandeered Little Red. So I'm good for that. Guys, let's do grades real quick on the recruiting class. Again, future grade versus actual grade. But overall, I mean, Nebraska ends up anywhere between 25th and 28th. For what they brought in, and they're in the top 20 for portal gets. They were 10th last year in the portal. I'll say this. I think 20 is kind of low. I think with – I mean, think about getting 3 guys from Georgia. You get a guy from A&M. You get a lot of SEC talent. You get some major Power 5 talent, and you get a quarterback in Sims that – staff's really excited about. I mean, I think 20 might be a little low.
I think you're not building a roster on the transfer portal edition. That's the difference between this year and last.
Yeah. Well, get to Brandon Vogel coming up. Hail Varsity on a Thursday presented by...
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for hanging out. Amir Abdullah, 1 hour. Hail Varsity presented by Currency, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. Steve weighs in on Twitter imploring... Nebraska fans, about 25,000 seats to be purchased for the Buff game this September. Oh, I think money will talk. They can say all they want about Prime's first home game. It may look like 2019. Also, Steve says it was a lot of fun as a student at UNL, sitting in the bleachers behind the opposing team's bench, yelling at the likes of Norm Stewart and Billy Tubbs.
That is fun.
Those two are like classic guys that may come across the bench.
Well, my favorite,
stare you down.
My favorite student section memory of the past 5 years of Husker basketball was the Mo Wagner moment whenever he was having a bad game against Nebraska. So the student section just chanted his name incessantly. And like he had his worst game of the season that game.
The Remember Michigan guy?
Yeah.
Well, they still won by 30 every time they visited Nebraska. Michigan did. Brandon Vogel is with us. Vogues, do you have a memorable moment as a pre-Hail Varsity road trip aficionado? Any Nebraska roadies you went into enemy territory, or any opposing fan bases that you particularly rank as threatening? And can you fill me in on the Antlers? I'm trying to rack my brain. I just know that they were scary and they were associated with Missouri.
Antlers are not familiar. So I'll need to bring in an expert self. In terms of hostile Nebraska environments, not a ton. Like at the time that I kind of started really going to Nebraska games, like I was living in Washington. Last Pitt game was played at Pitt, which was weird. I remember tailgating under a freeway, but Pitt fans were plenty welcoming, and that was not a very exciting game. Another road trip I definitely made was to Wake Forest. Was that 2006 or 2007?
That was old.
I definitely remember in the parking lot of our hotel, having a conversation with Husker fans about kind of the Bill Callahan era and where we were at. It must have been 2007 because we're coming off 2006. And that was a good, well-lubricated conversation, I guess, for lack of a better term, at like 11 p.m. at night in a hotel parking lot. But nothing too bad, like being doused with beers or anything like that. So I guess I lucked out. Or maybe I just went to places where – let's say the football passion maybe wasn't quite what you'd see at a Colorado or someplace like that.
It always got funky in Boulder, and Nebraska'd race out to large leads and then hang on to the bitter end. So your buzz was gone by like the middle of the fourth quarter every Colorado-Nebraska game ended up like the fourth quarter of the Iowa game. Legit. That's just how it worked. No matter if Nebraska was working on a national championship, not for 95, but, you know, 97 and 99, and then we know what happened in 01. But they were tight ball games. Worst, I had some guys probably from your hometown I was sitting next to in the end zone, there's a ramp that says Colorado, where Amon Green would race up like he's Superman after scoring, you know, 60-yard runs. I was sitting by Nebraska guys, and they just started tossing Colorado fans that were trying to get in their face. And the student section, the security was laughing because he hated the Colorado students, much like the Nebraska fans. Arizona State 96 was bad. I think my brother still sees a therapist for that. Not because of the game or the outcome, but because we're like top row right below the suites at Sun Devil Stadium. And you had people up there that were just absolutely screaming down, heckling, and they had a clear view of you. So they just keep pouring beers on us all game long. Now, being under 21, but in college, I just would turn and open my mouth, and it worked out well. But my brother thought that was, you know, being 14 at the time, he was upset about it. So Arizona State will rank number one forever, but that was their moment in time after Nebraska hung 77 the year before. Connor, did you sneak in anywhere and get heckled or hammered? Not hammered, but you know what I mean. Bothered?
I guess the only bad experience, and it wasn't even like bad, and it hasn't been in college sports, but whenever us Cub fans take the 45-minute venture north to Miller Park,
oh yeah,
things can get a little chippy because those two fan bases don't like each other. It's a newer rivalry. Not many people believe that it's a rivalry, but trust me, it is. Cub fans and Brewer fans do not get along, but it is a good time because it's usually 50-50 fan-wise, okay. And it's great.
And I'll just say from my days, it was – I feel like a lot more difficult for fans to be mean and nasty whenever they were steamrolling Nebraska, you know, whenever you show up and they've won by 40. They're not going to be that mean
and
nasty.
That's a sad, sad take, but it's accurate. Vogues, what'd you learn yesterday from... go ahead.
I was thinking the same thing as... Like, at the time, like I said, that Pitt game and that Wake Forest game, that was obviously the Callahan era. Like, at that point, you know, things weren't where they were headed quite yet, but you got the sense like this wasn't the same old Nebraska. They were easier to not dislike even at that early stage, though there were still some lingering of like, hey, maybe we haven't had a chance to beat Nebraska for quite some time, let's go ahead and do it now. But it was starting, the cracks in the foundation were starting to show.
I hear that it's just not good ever going down to Manhattan for a lot of Nebraska fans for some of those years when K-State was trying to climb up, and they had one year where they were really awesome with Michael Bishop, but that was a tough roadie for some. Vogues, what'd you learn yesterday from Coach Rhule? What do you think of the finishing touches on the class?
Yeah, I mean, the amount of turnover, well, it's not even turnover yet, because as we talked about, I think, you know, previously, Nebraska hasn't had the attrition I kind of thought they had the potential to have just with a coaching change. But you look at the raw numbers between transfers and the 2023 class, which is now signed and sealed in full, bringing in close to 40 guys, which is just a massive amount of new players to add to a team. And it's hard when you kind of fast forward this thing. I know we got to get through spring football and the whole offseason before, or, you know, after that. But it makes it really interesting and kind of difficult to project, and plenty of other teams are in this boat as well. Colorado, I think, one of the chief among them, where you bring in that many new guys, like how much do we really know about what Nebraska can be in 2023? Luckily, we've got a lot of time to figure it out, but it'll be interesting with this class. You know, this coaching staff has put a real emphasis on their ability to develop, and I think their track record backs that up. You've got some really intriguing players who, you know, may look a little raw on film or in terms of their ratings. But if Nebraska hits on a handful of those, have a chance to really have an early success story. I think that's kind of my lasting will be my lasting memory of this 2023 class as a class. Now they just become players at Nebraska, and we evaluate them that way.
Brandon Vogel is with us from HaleVarsity.com and Magazine, managing editor at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter, as we're talking signing day for Nebraska 24 hours later. I really loved Rule's take on, well, we should recruit well here. And you've had different takes from different staffs over the last two decades about what recruiting should be with Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see that attitude from a head coach, like we've seen at times, not just, you know, recently, but over the past decade to 15 years, probably going back to the start of the Callahan era. I think at various times, maybe minus Riley, you know, you've seen all of the staffs at Nebraska kind of acknowledge at least some kind of chafed against like some of the inherent recruiting challenges at in Lincoln. And those are all well-worn. We don't need to run through those again, but yeah, it's a little bit harder than it is, say, if you're located in Clemson, South Carolina, or in Georgia, but you have a lot to sell here. And I think if you believe in your ability to evaluate, you know, it's still hard for me to see Nebraska, unless it, you know, this Rule era really takes off. It's hard for me to see Nebraska consistently being like a top 15 in terms of those team recruiting rankings. But I don't think you have to be to do what Nebraska needs to do. So we'll see if they can get there. Like I said, this class kind of it ended up in a similar spot to most Nebraska classes of the Big Ten era. And that's pretty good given where it was when the staff started.
Brandon Vogel's with us here at Hale Varsity Radio. And Brandon, what will your metric for evaluation be for this class over the next couple of seasons? What are you going to be looking for to, in your mind, evaluate whether or not Matt Rule had a successful first class or an unsuccessful first class?
I think this might be unique to first in particular. You know, you go back to that 2018 class with Nebraska, and things are even different now compared to that with just the, you know, one-time transfer Rule. How many of them can you keep? You know, you bring in this many guys, approaching 30, something you couldn't do in the past. Is it going to be a standard attrition rate for Nebraska, which tends to be about 40-45%? Is it going to be better than that? Is it going to be worse? I mean, that 2018 class, even within like 2 or 3 years on campus, almost half of them were gone. And granted, the transfer portal changed that some for that group. But ultimately, I mean, we'll be able to see what those guys do on the field and what kind of players they develop into. You'll got, say, 70% of those guys on campus and playing and contributing. That's probably going to be the ultimate marker of success for me.
Vogues, it's interesting to see where we are in the world of college football just because of the portal and, you know, how many starts do I have and how soon am I on the field and the patience level. And there's an incentive to transfer, at least recently, because of COVID and NIL. And it's just tough to keep people here. But if you can do it, it can be really good for you on specifically on the lines of scrimmage in a league like the Big Ten. What's coming up from you this weekend here before we say goodbye?
Yeah, so with a little more time and, you know, the class fully in the books, I'm kind of interested to dig into it a little bit more. There's some things that I tend to look at with each class in terms of how close they are to Lincoln or how not close, you know, in some cases. When we were at the end of December, this was a fairly local class by comparison. It's never going to be, you know, all that close to Lincoln, but you're talking average distance of right about 500 miles. So that's intriguing. I think that helps you when it comes to the attrition part of the discussion. In terms of the player ratings, it's something I'm also interested in. Nebraska tends to do better in what I've researched when, you know, you can look at those average ratings and see a little more talent on the defensive side than the offensive side. This year's group came in pretty close to even. So that'll be something worth watching and just kind of digging into with past classes a little bit. So those are a couple of things I'm working on.
Vogues, can't wait for it. We'll talk Saturday. Thanks for the time today, bud. Hello, listener. Hey, it's Chris Schmidt with Hail Varsity Radio, and I wanted to let you know about a special deal just for listeners of the Hail Varsity Radio Show podcast. We're offering $10 off the annual subscription price. That means that you can get everything we do. 10 issues of our monthly magazine, our annual football yearbook, and all the premium content we produce at HailVarsity.com. Just go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe and enter in the promo code GBR for $10 off a full year of Hail Varsity. That's HailVarsity.com/subscribe, promo code GBR.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris@HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
25 minutes, Gary Barnett will be with us at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_Radio, @HerbalEssence, and @C_Clark_27. As we're talking Nebraska signing
just
class.
Get the side eye every time.
I just grin. I grin and bear it because I'm waiting for you to crack up with the, I'm going to come back, you know, we're going to come back and Connor's going to be during summertime or after spring semester's done, you'll take a breather to Chicago and then come back and poof, the Twitter handle will be changed. Because
maybe I'll surprise you.
No, and you keep
C dash Clark dash 27.
It's going to be C, yeah, underscore.
Maybe it'll be in brackets next time.
You just, ooh, whatever Twitter allows, new owner, so you go to town.
I know. I'll probably have to pay for it.
Yeah, he'll charge you. Cotter's Twitter handle is the most expensive Twitter handle with all, it's going to be an extra 50 cents per day,
yeah,
per underscore. So we're keeping with the underscore theme. We're talking about Nebraska's class and that retention topic, and we know where it's gone for Nebraska, and it's really been, to me, about guys being misused, not as developed, or guys just getting frustrated with the situation, i.e. not winning. Now, Nebraska's been very progressive with the portal, and they've done well. At least last year, they really cleaned up in the portal. I think this year, that's my main question. How many of these 11 hit? I think you're going to see Sims. I don't know if he starts, but you'll see Sims. And he has 2 years, okay? To me, it easier said than done, but it feels like Rule and his staff are going to put the relationship work in that even if you're not playing as much as you want, you like me, so you can stick around and we'll get you better. They're going to be able to sell that to portal and high school alike, and maybe, just maybe, their attrition rate will decrease comparatively to other programs. I think you're going to see some of the SEC guys get a quick nod, and time will tell how many of the leftover guys, that's not a knock, but what I mean by leftover is guys that are still part of this program that have been in the program that are going to get a new lease on life with a new coach and maybe a chance at a winning season. And I think whether some of those guys get beat out or not, time will tell. I don't envision somebody coming in and beating out a Reimer. I don't envision somebody coming in and beating out Ty Robinson or, you know, the key pieces to Nebraska's secondary. I just don't think that is. But I think there's some complementary pieces that are big. And you can mix and match there. What happens with the offensive line, too? I mean, who wins a job, who keeps a job, who continues to platoon on that spot? And the running back spot, if you're Allen and Grant, can you be happy with a 1-2 punch and sprinkle in some Ramir? There's other running backs on the roster. No quarterbacks left yet either. Well, and I don't know that number stays as strong as it is.
And what's really interesting to me whenever you look ahead at spring football is a lot of people are saying, well, Nebraska needs to get under the scholarship limit, so guys that aren't going to be getting play time are going to be leaving. And let's also throw a little caution out there in that there could be previous starters from this Husker football team that go into the portal post-spring. You know,
mm-hmm.
You get a spring football under a new position coach and you realize, hey, I'm just not jiving with this guy. There's a freshman below me that's really pushing me right now, and I'm going to go find a position coach that I jive with more in a place that I don't want to say you're going to be running away from competition, but going to a place where you're going to be guaranteed some play time. And you know what? If you're now I'm not listing any names with any knowledge, but say you're Quentin Newsome and you don't get along with Evan Cooper, and you see some younger guys. Hypothetically, 100% hypothetically, you're going to say, you know what, maybe I'll go transfer closer to home for a year, put down 1 year in a new system, and then go off to the NFL. Like that's still very possible. So I kind of, as with Matt Rhule talking yesterday, saying I hesitate to put holes in the roster. I also hesitate to say there's any positions that are truly locked down, because it's not just the guys that are buried on the depth chart that might be looking transfer portal this spring. But I think when you look at this incoming class, who a lot of talent there, I think a lot of development needs to be done, but there is talent there. I think it's less important right now to look at attrition rate in a year one, just because you know there's going to be attrition rate whenever you've had to build a relationship with a coach over the course of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and you commit. Like, there's going to be attrition. I think the bigger question is hit rate, which, yeah, it's obvious to say, but what percentage of these guys, of these 28 incoming freshmen, are contributing 2 years from now? What percentage of these guys are starting 2 years from now? If you have a 50% hit rate, but 12 of the 14 guys are starting on offense or defense, you still call this class successful.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, your odds of having 12 of 14 guys contributing, if, say, 50% did leave this class, is low. But that's why I don't want to look at attrition rate as hard in this first class, because just whenever there is that limited time to go build relationships and understand what a school is all about, you're expecting there's going to be some attrition.
I'll say this, Connor and Elijah. I think it wasn't a whirlwind as far as let's go get bodies. I think there was enough research done and time put in that they didn't go after guy. They went after talent, yes, but I think they went after guys that they think fit, because it's going to be a certain mentality. And Rhule talked about that yesterday. You need to really like football, and you need to be a really hard worker. And I'm not saying kids that are high stars or uber talented in high school aren't hard workers, but there's a different level of work that you're going to need when you come into a college football program in the Big Ten than maybe you're used to in high school.
Well, and I've said this about multi-sport athletes before, sorry not to cut you off, Connor, but like, multi-sport athletes to me are impressive, not because like, oh, they showcase athleticism in different ways. It's because you don't have a full 365 days to dedicate to your one sport that you're getting good at. If you're a football player who plays basketball in the summer, in the winter, you play baseball in the spring, and then maybe you're on a travel AAU team in the summertime, yet you're still a high-level Division I football player, that's showing me you just have natural athleticism that's off the charts.
Well, I think, too, that a phrase that could like maybe describe the situation that we're talking about is there's beauty in the struggle, right? Because you talk about all these guys who could potentially be leaving just because they're getting pushed, or they don't, you know, mesh with their new position coach or what have you. But those guys who emerge are emerging for a reason in that spring ball period. So despite, you know, you want to focus on the guys that are leaving, especially if their bigger names or previous starters, as Elijah mentioned. But at the same time, I think you have to come to appreciate, especially as fans too, you have to come to appreciate the guys who are emerging from the crowd and who are separating themselves and earning that playing time, because clearly they're on the roster for a reason. They're a Big Ten school. They're good at football in some way, shape, or form. And if they're emerging from the crowd, they're doing that for a reason. And I think they're doing that because they deserve it.
Well, the clean slate of new and retained is good for Nebraska. And if you're a two-year starter on the offensive line and you really like what has been going on with Coach Donnie, you get a chance to see him for another year and then maybe have a little bit better connection between game plan, identity, offensive coordinator, commitment to run game, and maybe you have a dual threat quarterback win the job. Maybe Casey comes back and keeps the job, and it's a clean slate. And Rhule is going to focus on what's the future look like versus what you've done in the past, just because it is all new. We'll wind down this first hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by...
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you one final time this hour, 10 minutes, Gary Barnett at 5:20 tonight. Amir Abdullah going to be with us, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark. So Big Game Boomer has put out his student section college basketball power rankings.
Not and, this guy again.
Well, you know.
I actually like something that's on his list this time.
Okay, so in the rankings, I do not see Nebraska.
That's a problem. That is definitely a problem. You want to know what's not a problem? And this is just my fandom coming back from the old Chicagoland area. Uh-huh. DePaul is number 8 in the Big East. I don't think that's ever happened in my entire life. So I just had to throw that out there because I got really excited.
And credit to Connor. Whenever he came over to my house, like, what was that, 2 weeks ago to pick up screwdrivers from me? We're watching the Nebraska basketball game.
Look at you helping a minor out in need.
The tool.
Okay.
The tool, not the drink.
I still haven't given them back.
The tool, not the drink. Thank you very much. Anyway, we're sitting there watching the Husker basketball game, and Connor goes, what's the score of the DePaul game? I'm like, during the middle of the Husker basketball game, it's a close game, too.
They always play at the same time, and it drives me nuts. It is so annoying.
DePaul's not been good. Who was the one dude they had, like, in 04 or 08? Who was the guy who played for the Clippers?
Oh, Chandler? Wilson Chandler?
No, there's a guy before that. It was probably before you were born. Okay. I'm blurring my years. But, I mean, the DePaul era of the Mark Aguirre-led Final Four squad from 40 years ago that I kind of remember, well, I don't remember, but I know of. Yeah, DePaul, because weren't they supposed to be good? Isn't it impossible to suck recruiting the city of Chicago if you're DePaul and you're a private school and now there's NIL?
Well, you'd think, but apparently it's still a major
issue.
And
it bothers you because you grew up going to those games, right?
I've been going to those games since I was 3 months old and have yet to quit.
Well, it's top 10 rankings of the college basketball power index. That's why there's a cutoff, but apparently Penn State fans squeeze in at 10, Michigan 9, Wisconsin 8, Northwestern 7. Okay. Illinois, they got to be higher than 6 based on how they've tried to get into Iowa City. At least they're in front there. Maryland's 5.
That should be an instant up 2 spots.
Rutgers is 4. The rack's always just banging. It's always high level, high energy.
It's good for the Big Ten.
Indiana's 3. Their fan base is good. Sparty, Michigan State fans are good. Mm-hmm. Purdue fans are always engaged, and they've been good forever, so they should be. But K-State squeezes out over Kansas, their student section. Oh, I don't know about that.
There might be an argument there. I've watched a couple of K-State
games. I think it's more rowdy at K-State.
The Octagon of Doom.
Yeah,
that's what they call it.
But I think Kansas, man, I mean, their students have been something. I mean, they've been winning basketball for
something
years.
Something tells me that K-State got the nod because they're still undefeated at home this year. They're 12-0. They haven't lost a home game, so I think whenever you have a tight race such as that, you give it to the team that hasn't
lost
at home.
That's a good take, yep.
See, and Arizona State is not on this list. And do they still have the curtain of shame? Or did they ban that?
Curtain of distraction?
Yes.
Yeah, whenever like Michael Phelps came out.
I don't know if they still do that.
That was incredible where there's – might have been Arizona State the other night. I saw this on Twitter where there's like 10 guys in a row in Speedos.
Oh, I saw that too. Their student section is awesome.
And their chest is painted. They have goggles on, and they mimic like they're doing crew rowing. And it was really disturbing if you're a free throw shooter.
Gotta love a Wednesday in Tempe.
Yeah, no kidding. Shirts and goggles. The one's optional. Hour 2 next. Hey, it's Schmitty. Want to tell you about a fantastic opportunity to work for a rapidly growing company that also enjoys the benefits earned with having competitive, stable history of work over 20 years. FSC. The FSC Edge, it's a leading technology innovator serving governmental agencies. Expert services helping worldwide patent offices meet strict processing and publishing timelines while delivering exceptional quality. They support some of the world's largest patent offices throughout the U.S. and Europe. That includes the European Patent Office, the German Patent and Trademark Office, and the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. The only group of companies worldwide to provide such support to all three of these agencies. Working at FSC, you have a chance to work with fun people with great attitudes and learn about patents. You're not on the phone. You're not customer-facing. It's casual dress, and the work environment, it's a new environment with over $2 million in improvements. You have access to generous benefits packages, company support for health and wellness, and you do impactful work on a national scale. Make a difference. Their team's constantly growing, and they're always looking for new people to join their mission. Check out what's available today at fscedge.com.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency. For all your equipment financing needs, go Currency. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark, as we welcome in Hall of Fame coach with Colorado, with Northwestern, and standout player and Hall of Famer at Missouri, Gary Barnett, with us to get going. Coach, how's the week been? Thanks for the time.
Well, it's been interesting watching all the recruiting, the signees, which, you know, used to be this was the biggest day of the year for college football fans. And now it's just another day because most of the work's already been done. And so it's sort of interesting to watch how this calendar has changed, but still some interesting guys, but still not what it used to be.
Nope, Nebraska ended up able to add five more. They have 28 high school players, 11 portal, coach, and 39 new additions overall, Coach Prime. And I know Colorado really closed well with the high school talent, a lot of five stars, and then also did well in the portal. And I want to ask you here, what's a new normal for you when it comes to hit rate versus attrition here in this portal and NIL era?
Oh boy, you know, Chris, it's gone up and up each mm-hmm. year, and so I don't know what the real hit rate's going to be. I mean, Colorado's taken, I think, 26 portal kids now, and so. When you look at the average, it looks like it's somewhere between 12 and 16 to 17 kids leaving mm-hmm. every year. That's what sort of looks like to me for different reasons, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's going to be a grad transfer or whether it's, you know, a coach comes in, like in Prime's case, and says, that, you know, really, we need you to move on. We're not going to keep you around. So he goes in, or if the kid decides he wants to go in. So it's, you know, it's new territory here, I think, for everybody. But it looks like to me it's about 12 to 16 is pretty average.
What's the reality when it comes to recruiting in Colorado? I want to get your take there. And then also Coach Rhule yesterday in his presser saying, look, this is Nebraska. We should recruit well, and that's not always been the mindset for some coaches in Lincoln, just because it's not a direct flight. But kind of compare each spot. You coached against Nebraska for a lot of years, but you also recruited against Nebraska, and you were able to get. So how difficult is each spot to get kids to?
Well, we went to the places where there were a lot of students, regular students from those places like California. You know, there were a lot of just regular students going to Colorado from California. So that was an area, it seemed like, because there was so much interest by so many people in CU at that time, it was normal to go get the athletes from there too. And Texas, because we'd always had a pipeline there, and it's because it's, you know, really one of the best places to recruit in the country, period. And then Colorado for us, mostly because of my background, mm-hmm. and it's, you know, it's what you're supposed to do if you're a state school, but it was even more so for me. But Nebraska always came in and took a player or two, and obviously they just took another kid out of the Regis corner, mm-hmm. I know, just recently, just in this last signee class. And It comes down to, like in Matt's case or Coach Prime's case, Coach Sanders. I don't want to call him Coach Prime. I don't go there. So Coach Sanders. All these guys are from Florida and Mississippi, and so this is the first time in like 40 years that we signed like seven players, more players from Florida than any other state. That's the first time that that hasn't been either Colorado, Texas, or California. Mm-hmm. So they're going to go there because that's where they're from and that's where they like to recruit. Now, taking them out of there and keeping them out of there is going to be one thing, be something else, because that's a big cultural change. Mm-hmm. It's a big climate change, and it's a, you know, it looks enticing and exciting when you first get going, but living there and going through it, it becomes a different problem, no matter where it is. So it'll be interesting to watch how this all unfolds. I think they only took one player from the state of Colorado. Mm. I looked yesterday. There were 16 Power 5 players from Colorado that signed, anywhere from Washington to Wisconsin to Nebraska to Washington State took three, Stanford, Arizona State. So, I mean, Kansas State took one. So it's, you know, 16 Power 5 is pretty good. And there's another 16 from the Group of Five that are out there. So Wyoming's, Colorado State's, et cetera. So 16's a pretty good number. And to only get one, you know, someone's sooner or later going to question that. Depends on how many games you win, though. But the more Coach Sanders gets acclimated and understands Colorado, he'll probably change that.
Coach Gary Barnett's with us here. It's Hail Varsity Radio. And do you find that Colorado had the same issues as Nebraska's had in recent years with breaking the preconceived notions of kids about a place? Nebraska, you hear from a lot of recruits that come to town, well, I was expecting a stadium surrounded by cornfields, and Lincoln just surprised me with the kind of city it was. Did you ever experience that at Colorado in the city of Boulder?
Well, not really. Once again, because we would recruit California, Texas, and Colorado primarily. Mm-hmm. I think, you try to get lucky on the weather, but you walk in, you land at the airport and you drive into Colorado and there's an overlook there. And I don't care who you are. If you've got a heartbeat, you get excited. And, so that was never an issue, for us. I mean, once we got those kids from Texas and they were coming in on Highway 36 over the overlook, I mean, you had a hook in them right away. So, and they were all always worried about the weather. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. Kids grow up in the South or Texas, and they worry about the weather. And in reality, it's not really a big deal. But once you got them on campus, you always had a chance.
Coach Gary Barnett is with us on Hail Varsity Radio, and Coach, over to the Nebraska side for spring ball, trying to get that number of players down to the number of scholarships that you can have. Should fans be more worried about who's emerging themselves from the crowd? Because we talked about this earlier today. Or should they be more worried about who is leaving? Because obviously the guys who are emerging themselves and separating themselves are doing that for a reason.
Yeah, and May 1 opens up the portal again. But, you know, it's a whole new world out there for all this sort of stuff. And, you know, Nebraska's never had the problem that Colorado's had. When we've hardly ever had enough players to do a spring game. You guys have always had enough players. I mean, you carry 150 guys pretty regularly, I think. Or at least that's what it seems like and looks like. I think for you guys it's going to be who leaves. Who feels like this isn't going to work out for them. And this year, because of so many transfers that are coming in and early enrollees, we're going to have, you know, we're going to have the numbers this year to have a spring game that we haven't had before. So, but I think to answer your question, it would come down to more who's going to leave and who gets weeded out in this process.
Coach, did you see Max Olson's article in The Athletic on quarterback attrition?
I did.
And your thoughts, and just to reset for the audience, Max did a deep dive into top 50 quarterbacks from 2017 through 2020 and some pretty startling numbers. And you sign a stud quarterback coach, he ain't going to be around. This is the long and short of the story. But any way to fight that back? There's instances of guys that worked out well, and if they made a start and it went okay, the Trevor Lawrences of the world, then obviously you kept them. But more times than not, you had guys make their way because the grass is greener. That incentive through this era we're talking about, 17 through 20, there's incentive to look elsewhere because of NIL, and you had that free transfer year.
Yeah, well, what was the number, 70%?
70%.
I think transferred?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. I think it's just the way you got to accept it. You know, if you got a kid that is really good and you want to keep him, you better play him. But as a coach, you know, you're about building character and building teams. And sometimes it's not in the best interest of your team to go play this guy right now. Mm-hmm. And so how do you balance that? I don't know. I think that probably guys are going to get so calloused all this, and they'll just say, you know what, if I lose him, I can go get another one. And so it ends up, you know, coaches using that instead of being worried about it. That would be a problem for me, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, because for me, being a teacher, you know, I just thought this was a time in everybody's life, these kids' life, where they go through so many of these changes. And, you know, it's an 18-year-old college freshman is so different than a 22 or 23-year-old college mm-hmm. senior. It's just amazing. I mean, it's not even fair to look at the two. But for me, I always wanted to be a part of that, and I enjoyed being a part of that. And so it would bother me to have them coming and going like that, and that, you know, not being able to be part of their lives as much as I wanted to be or would have been if it were in the old school situation.
Coach, I want to ask you about, do you keep an ear or an eye on Arizona high school football? And I'm at Chandler, where Raiola was at, to Pinnacle, where he transferred to, and not just him, but a lot of guys. What's the high school situation like in Arizona? And I mean, there's just a ton of quarterbacks that the college football world goes to your neck of the woods to go get kids for their next guy in their program.
There are a ton of quarterbacks. You're exactly right. I mean, I'm not sure. I'd have to see the stats on it, but there can't be a state that produces more high level college quarterbacks than maybe California.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm sure Texas is in there, but Arizona's become one of those, and it's because of the weather, you can be outside all the time, and I think because of the coaches, I think there's really a good group of coaches down here. Mm-hmm. You know, most of these kids, most of these schools are really good, and so academically they're established.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Pac-12, every school in the Pac-12 recruits down here very heavily. And so I think that influences mm-hmm. it as well, to have coaches coming in all the time from all the Pac-12 schools, and they're coming for skill kids primarily. And so I think that has a little bit of influence on it as well. But yeah, it's really been an outstanding area for quarterbacks.
Coach, we were talking about fan bases and road environments, and it goes back to the Illinois student section for basketball. What's the rudest or toughest student section you faced as a coach and as a player?
The rudest? I'll tell you, one of the most fun as a coach was Kansas.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. The kids are right behind you, and they were so funny. I would be talking to a player, and one of these kids would say something, and I would have to break out laughing. It was just funny. I don't know why. It just happened to be that way. You know, the toughest place for us in the Big Ten was Iowa, Wisconsin, and Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
In the Big 12, Oklahoma was tough. Kansas was fun. Texas Tech was entertaining as well. That was pretty crazy.
That horse.
So, I mean, that was crazy at Texas Tech. But that was about it. But they were all fun. You know, you look forward to going to them. You really did.
What's the, I got 60 seconds. What's the story behind the antlers at Missouri?
The antlers?
Yeah.
Oh.
The student group, the antlers, were you familiar with that? Was that?
No, you know what? That came in way after I left. I've heard about them. I know about them, but I don't know much about them. So I can't give you much history on that one.
Well, they were infamous back in the day. I don't know that they're around anymore, but
yeah, I don't either.
I was wondering. Coach, have a good weekend. Swing the clubs, all right? And we'll get caught up soon, all right?
All right, guys. Great being with you. Thank you.
Thank you. There he is, Gary Barnett with us on Hail Varsity Radio.
Now, if the Antlers were able to pull off a heist of Little Red, do you think they'd be able to get the Buffalo?
Ralph, no.
Ralph, yeah.
I'd pay to see it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Take the words right out of my mouth.
Right?
I'd pay to see it.
There's been some good, like, live mascot heists through the years. We haven't had one in a while.
Well, good luck. You need about 7 Trank darts.
Maybe more.
You might. I mean, depends on how much Coors Ralphie's had. Amir Abdullah, next on Hail Varsity Radio.
Like what you hear? High-quality radio and podcasts are just part of what we do at Hail Varsity. I'm Brandon Vogel, Managing Editor. I wanted to offer listeners of the Hail Varsity Radio Show podcast $10 off the price of an annual subscription. That means that you can get everything we do, 10 issues of our monthly magazine, our annual football yearbook, and all of the premium content we produce at HailVarsity.com. Just go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe and enter the promo code GBR for $10 off a full year of Hail Varsity. That's HailVarsity.com/subscribe, promo code GBR.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by Currency, an all-time Husker, and going into year 9 with the NFL, a great season with Vegas. Amir Abdullah back with us at Amir Guapo on Twitter. Amir, what's going on, man? Time flies from signing day to now it's 8 years going into year 9 in the league. How you been?
Man, I've been wonderful for starters, man, but just hearing you say that back is really surreal, honestly. It's gone by so fast, and I feel like I was just on campus at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And I can't believe I'm heading into year 9 now, so it's definitely a special feeling.
Man, I feel you blank, and I remember talking to you on signing day. You were doing a TV interview, and then you gave us like 5 minutes for the radio show, bless your heart. And it was awesome, and to see it shake out. So what is the here and now for you? What are you doing? Playoffs, Super Bowl around the corner. How are you unwinding, or are you gearing back up?
Typically, I take a little time to unwind. You know, the NFL season is very, very long, and this has only gotten longer since we made that amendment to the CBA a couple of years ago to add a game. But usually I take a week or two to unwind. I actually just got back from Hawaii. So woe is me, tough life. Just got back from Hawaii. I'm actually currently in LA visiting some family. Have some business here as well. So taking care of a little business while also trying to mix in a little pleasure is typically how my month goes if the team I'm on doesn't make the playoffs, which unfortunately we didn't this season. So on the bright side, it gives me time to, you know, visit family, people I don't get to see as regularly as I would like to. And then training starts pretty much next week for me. So just getting back on the horse, getting back to the fundamentals. Always been big on that. And let's get back on this ride.
Amir Abdullah is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So what did you do in Hawaii, or did you just find the beach?
Well, I actually went to the Big Island. It was my first time going to the Big Island. I chose there just because it was probably the least amount of, like, building and just, like, society that you can find on any of the islands of Hawaii. I usually take one solo trip a year, so this was my solo trip. Really wanted to visit some of the sacred valleys that they have there. Over my time in the NFL, I've really become really a lover of nature, you know, just getting out and separating myself from too much stimulation, whether that's people, whether that's the internet, whatever that may be. I try to take one trip a year just to decompress. And I really wanted to get down to some of the sacred valleys and waterfalls that they have on the Big Island. And then just the different assortment of beaches. I don't know if you guys know, but they have a green sand beach, they have a blue sand beach, they have a black sand beach, and they also have a normal, you know, colored sand beach and on the Big Island. And that's because of the, you know, the terrain that surrounds the water in that area. Why those sand, the sand forms those different colors. And it's just really interesting. You know, it gives you a time to sit back and just become more present about life, being around nature, things that are just moving at a natural course, as opposed to just all these man-made schedules that we put on ourselves that can kind of be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So just getting the time to do that definitely helps you, you know, take on those man-made constructs as you get back to regular schedule programming.
Man, anytime, tour guide, right? Give me the Amir Abdullah tour.
I'm the guy. I need to start a blog. I actually need to start a blog. My I would say my history of travel is getting pretty extensive now, so I'm pretty sure I've been to a lot of places that people also want to go. So, like you said, add Amir Guapo on Twitter. Let me know if I should start a blog, guys. Let me know.
That'd be good. I you know, international for me has been Mexico, and I got to Ireland this year. That was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting to cover with Nebraska opening up across the mm-hmm. pond and do radio from pubs. It was awesome, but the game for Nebraska fans was not. Let's go there, Amir. We'll get into year nine in a moment, but you've got a pretty unique perspective because you've had a chance to play for Coach Rhule. Tell Nebraska fans about him, man.
Man, actually, for starters, me and my father, we were talking about you know, just Nebraska in general, how special that place is to me. And I try to get back once a year. And last year was actually my first year that I didn't get to get back to Nebraska in any capacity. It was a lot of, you know, moving and traveling for me, moving from Minnesota to the Panthers to, you know, signing with the Raiders that following offseason. And I'll definitely say this. Matt Rhule definitely was the most personable coach I've ever had in the NFL. And he was the coach that I had for the shortest extent in the NFL. I only played, I think, 7 or 8 games with Matt Rhule joining him this season. But he was the first coach to ever invite me to his house. And it was such a shocker to me because, you know, I was in year 8 and I had kind of compartmentalized, you know, this is work, this is business. It's still football when I'm around my teammates, but when it comes to administration or coaches, kind of got to, you know, tighten up your tie a little bit and stand a little straighter. But he's a guy who actually wants you to loosen that tie a little bit. He wants you to really get to know him. He really wants to know you and your family. He still checks on me to this day and was checking up on me. Before he actually even signed to be the next head coach in Nebraska. And it just speaks volumes to, you know, the type of character I feel like he's going to bring. But on the same time, he's a guy who really, really understands the game of football. He understands offensive schemes wonderfully, which I think Nebraska over the last couple of years, I think that's where they struggled the most, you know, up front a little bit and then probably a little bit on the defensive line. But I could say just consistency on offense has been a big telling point for Nebraska over the last couple of years. So I'm excited to see exactly what kind of offense they're going to bring, you know, coming in this year and what to expect. I will be at the spring game, though. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new regime under Matt Rhule.
Amir Abdullah is with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. You will or won't be at the spring game. I missed that. Sorry.
As I will. Sorry.
Oh, good,
as
good. Good, man. That'll be good. And so, were you just blown away? Because you're right. The NFL is so cold. It's business. And he invited you in. So, what was that experience like? Was it just dinner? Did you guys just order a pizza? What was the deal?
So, what he did every Thursday of every week of the season, he would invite someone on the one of the position groups to his house. Position groups, and I think he also extended this to the strength and conditioning staff as well after he ran out of position groups. And I was able to go twice because just my unique role there with the Panthers. I was kind of like a receiver, but also, you know, I'm a running back at heart. So I got to go with the receivers. And he had a chef come in and they cooked us, you know, barbecue. We were watching a Thursday night game. He showed us his wine collection. Got to meet his kids, got to meet his wife and other close people to him. And he just welcomed us into his beautiful home in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we just really broke bread. You know, I really felt like he had taken the cloak of being a coach off. And he was just one of the guys kicking it with us in the locker room. You know, he's an East Coast guy, so he kind of has a certain swag to him that's very confident and very laid back and very loose. And it really felt like I was hanging out with an uncle or something like that. It was a really, really special experience. And I was able to do it twice, you know, later, a couple weeks later with the running back group. Which it was nothing short of just like amazing, you know, to see a coach be able to put his guard down like that, to see a coach who has found success pretty much at every level that he's been at, to be able to bring himself down to talk to rookies, you know, and talk to practice squad guys. And then you got guys like me and then guys like Christian who had, you know, been in the league for a long time. And he was talking to us all in the same plane. And I really respected that because, not saying my previous coaches wouldn't have done that, but they had it. You know, I had never experienced it before, so it definitely left a mark on me. So when right before he took the job at Nebraska, you know, he texted me and he was asking me a lot of questions about Nebraska. So I started to, you know, get my insider news going in my group chats with everyone I have, like Will Compton, Josh Mitchell, Quincy, and everyone. We are all still in group chats. So I felt special breaking the news a little bit early, telling them, like, yo, I think Matt Rule's going to get the job. And, you know, I think it'd be good for Nebraska just because I feel like the leadership role obviously has been, you know, the most important thing at the University of Nebraska. Who's the head man? You know, what is his energy? Is he fiery like Bo? Is he kind of laid back and quiet like Matt? Coach Riley, or is he kind of between, like, you know, Coach Ross most recently? And I feel like Matt Rule is definitely going to bring a mixture of all those things that I just alluded to, but in his own creative and flair. You know, he's a guy who's very confident. He's a guy who knows ball. He's a guy who really cares about people. And I think that's going to help kids really get comfortable and buy into Nebraska because, you know, with the new NIL stuff and all the new transfer rules, I feel like a lot of kids kind of have one foot in and one foot out. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to say they're wrong about that. You know, that's just a different experience than I had. That wasn't something that I had the luxury of doing, you know, to have one foot in, one foot out. Once you commit it, you kind of are there, you know. And today you don't really have that, I would say – that reality, you know, necessarily. And I think having a guy who can make you feel like you're at home as a player here at Nebraska is going to be really important just to, you know, keep your team together and just to be able to build. Because, you know, it's hard to build when you got guys leaving every other day, every year. And I think it's probably the biggest challenge he has ahead of him. And I don't think it's any guy that at least I've played for that would be better off leading the team in this type of new generation of football that we're seeing in college football right now.
Good stuff with Amir Abdullah. A few more minutes with Amir, an extended sit down with the Husker great and member of the Vegas Raiders. We'll talk NFL with Amir, more on his time with Amir Abdullah and Matt Rule, and great perspective there. Not only the ability to go to Coach Rule's house, That surprised Amir quite a bit, just because the NFL's corporate and cold, and you could be signed one day and cleaning out your locker the next. It's 53 men and practice squad. But just Amir's insight on the leader that Nebraska will need at the front of the program, and he's, you know, he's buying stock and he'd know firsthand. So that was pretty impressive.
How about Amir also making his foray into becoming a Husker football insider, getting the scoop first?
Hey, Amir, what do you think about Nebraska? I have a chance to coach there. Coach, head that way, please. Hey, Will. Hey, Josh. Hey, Quincy. Guess what? ...
It wasn't, hey, Chris Schmidt, guess what, unfortunately.
Maybe not. Maybe it was, but maybe it wasn't. More with Amir Abdullah. Hail Varsity continues on. I want to remind you about getting buckled up. One of every three fatal crashes in Nebraska, alcohol, impaired driver is involved with. So why take chances? If you drink, Don't Drive, a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. More on Coach Rhule with Amir Abdullah next on Hail Varsity.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Amir Abdullah is with us. Couple minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. It's great to get caught up with one of the all-time greats for Nebraska. You mentioned Rhule's connection with the players. And Amir, it sounds like he just is great at knowing what he needs to do to win, but also how Nebraska can go about doing so in the league. There's a humbleness, but there's also like the guy can motivate, and that's the biggest thing to me is guys want to go kill it for him, and that could be different for Nebraska in a good way.
The best thing about Matt Rhule is he understands situational football, and I mean if you look at Nebraska over the last couple of years, we had some games that probably could have changed the momentum of our season. Mm-hmm. One game I think of specifically is really the game you alluded to in Ireland last year. You know, so a couple of situational calls were made at that point and kind of changed the momentum of the game. And the first thing that I remember when I got to the Carolina Panthers playing with Matt Rhule was our team meetings were extremely long, like way longer than what you typically would get from any other team that I've been on before. And then I will also say the Raiders team meetings were longer. That's just because Matt Rhule and Josh McDaniels are really big on situational football, understanding what's going on in the game, what we may potentially call given the down and distance, the time on the clock, understanding the difference between the 2 minute before the half and the 2 minute before at the end of the game. And just understanding the different 4-point plays that you may find yourself in the red zone defensively and offensively. And once you start to play with that kind of awareness, you can play faster. You can see things happening before they happen. And Matt Rhule really takes his time to educate the players on those different situations that I kind of mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really going to be big for a lot of college players because it's not just playing ball when you get to the next level and then the highest level in the NFL. It's about becoming a pro and a scientist almost in situational ball because it can't just be the quarterback who understands it. And I'm sure he's going to start there, educating the quarterbacks that we have in our room at Nebraska on the different situations to lead the team. But if you got, a couple old linemen also echoing the different situations in the huddle, or you got your safety echoing the, situation in the defensive huddle, that'll take your team a long way. It makes the game more interesting. And I think that's the level of IQ that he can bring to the Nebraska squad that I remember talking to a lot of guys who I played in the league with who went to Bama, and they had that experience with Nick Saban, mm-hmm. right? He's a guy who had experience in the NFL. He's a guy who had tremendous success in the college ranks, and, that was the difference. Bo would definitely talk a lot of situational football with the defense, but, offense wasn't necessarily his forte. So, we didn't necessarily have that, on our side, but Coach Rhule having that experience both defensively and offensively and really, taking the time to break the game down to situational segments makes the game mean more and makes you play with a different intentionality as the game progresses. And I think that will help players play smartly. If it's before the half and you have the ball, you're about to go score and there's 2 minutes left, you don't want to get out of bounds right away. You want to run that clock. You want to make sure when you cross that 50, you get in the green zone and the red zone, that you're going to be the last one with the possession. You don't want to be running out of bounds, stopping the clock and things of that sort. And those are things that can help you in the second half, where if you can steal that extra possession from them, then it may keep you in a place of advantage throughout the game. And those are the important details that can win that game against Northwestern, or can edge out of Wisconsin and put you in a better situation to win a Big Ten West.
Amir Abdullah is with us. You nailed it with the details being a different animal, NFL and Big Ten for sure. Amir, we started off the conversation talking year 9. What is the horizon? Is it Vegas for year 2? Is it somewhere else? Do you know yet?
I'm not 100% sure yet. I've been in discussions with my agent about a few teams, actually. I love Vegas. I would love to be back in Vegas. I believe in what we have there, what we can build there. Obviously, last year did not necessarily work out the way we feel like. But just speaking personally, I know the talent we have on that team is tremendous. We have a lot of guys who can, you know, be playmakers, a lot of guys who can really just be a force, you know, to reckon with offensively and defensively. And I know how the NFL is. You know, one year may look sour, and next year may be the sweetest year of your life. So it'll be interesting to see how things kind of shape up in Vegas. I would love to be back there, but, you know, I definitely want to continue to be in a place that gives me the opportunity to be the playmaker that I am, which, you know, I think the Vegas Raiders kind of gave me that opportunity last year. I'm looking just to build on that more.
You're versatile. You're experienced. You're a good locker room guy. You catch the football, can still run it. You return it, so there's a ton of value. You're feeling good. I mean, do you feel like you got a lot more, many more years with in you? Is the question.
I do, man. It's actually funny. I was talking to my agent the other day, and he's like, "How old are you again? 27?" I was like, "Dude, I'm actually 29." He was like, "29?" I was like, "Yeah, man. I got a blood test recently, and they said biologically I'm 23 years old. Can you believe that? 23 years old." And I'll go back to how I started off the conversation earlier. Just resetting your spirit, man. If you keep a young spirit, you keep a young mind, I promise your body will follow suit. And I have to give credit to that. You know, obviously my diet and my training as well. Over the last, 6 or 7 years, I've really focused on that and made sure I'm doing things that are helping me build my longevity as opposed to taking that away. But I believe it's the young spirit, man. I like to have a lot of fun. I like to do things that are kind of like kids, spirited, and I think that's what it is. So, honestly, I think I could play another 5 more years. You know, I'm going into year 9 if I want to. You know, I can play another 5 years. And if, you know, the good Lord has that in my future and this path for me, then I definitely feel I can play as long as I want to. And that's always my goal. You know, stop playing whenever I'm not having fun with it anymore. And that has not hit me yet. So I am I'm still on this journey.
Well, 23-year-old blood, I am not going to get a blood test. I don't want to know how old.
They say you can sell it on the black market. That's actually my next move.
Well,
some blood draws.
You're
sell it on the black market.
Man, that's the way to do it. And then the broadcast booth likely for you somewhere, man. That'd be awesome. Amir Abdullah with us. Find him on Twitter at Amir Guapo. And much success to you, Amir. We'll bump into you hopefully for the spring game, bud. But thanks for the time, and always great to chat with you.
Thank you, Chris.
There he is, Amir Abdullah. Dion asking, does he have any eligibility left? No, sadly no. But you blink, and it's year 9 for Amir Abdullah. And it was fun to watch him in Vegas, and we'll see where he ends up. But just a great perspective there. We spent probably 2/3 of the interview on his time with Rule, and that's just good insight in the football IQ part, the attention to detail. It sounds common, but that's really a difference maker, and it's been a difference maker in this league.
Really quickly, what's your favorite Amir Abdullah moment at Nebraska? There's a couple. You got that McNeese State touchdown. You got the Michigan touchdown late. You got that first down against Northwestern on 4th and 20 or whatever.
I think the Amir Abdullah moment that represents him is him diving on a fumble inside the 5 against Purdue, and Nebraska's up by 28 points. He dove on a fumble, hurt his knee his senior season, and still finished out the year against Sparty at Wisconsin. It was him literally taking one for the team.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time on a Thursday. Big thanks to Gary Barnett. Major thanks to Amir Abdullah. And always awesome to spend time with Brandon Vogel, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, @HerbalEssence, @C_Clark_27. Reminder, the Hail Varsity Radio Show presented to you by Currency. For all your equipment financing needs, go Currency. We got things kicked off talking signing day, and some projections here for a hit rate for Nebraska. But we also focused in on the old Orange Crush, the Illinois student section that was planning on a roadie to Iowa City only to have their deeds
foiled.
Exposed and then foiled. So Elijah's done some homework when it comes to visiting fan bases. And apparently the Fordham Rams, they played Fordham last year, right?
Not like
two years ago.
Yes.
2021.
Yeah. Thank you. 2 years ago. And that's where Vince Scully went. And I think that's also where Vince Lombardi went. So the point of it, though, is whoever takes the Fordham Ram, whoever took the Fordham Ram, really introduced that poor Ram to some bad habits. We talked about the curtain of shame at Arizona State. Tough places to play or go. Arizona State in 1996 was kind of our personal Schmidt worst experience ever. Not just game, a bit experience. Boulder's always been interesting. I hear Manhattan's no fun. Both of you guys have had some tamer adventures, but Fordham's rival is who?
NYU for the most part. NYU for the most part. There's a couple other teams that were known to kidnap their Ram, and that's where I'm going with this. I believe Iona did it once or twice.
Okay.
This Ram, there's been like 20 different iterations of it because it keeps on getting stolen. Well, let's get into it.
Is there still a live mascot?
I don't believe so. Not anymore. I believe it was eventually retired in like 75.
Okay.
But Ramsey's one back in the 20s was kidnapped by NYU and taken to a slaughterhouse. So they replaced Ramsey's 1 with Ramsey's 2, at which point NYU kidnapped Ramsey's 2 and took him to a slaughterhouse.
That sounds like a war crime.
a little bit. Like,
what is going on here?
The 20s were a different time. Ramsey's the 3rd, rather than being killed by a rival school, was killed by the Fordham rifle team because he repeatedly ran away and assaulted New York trains, the subways.
This is terrible.
So the city of New York sentenced the Fordham Ram to death.
Oh my God!
The Fordham rifle team executed him. Let's see the Fordham.
This poor Ram.
The Fordham student section accidentally killed Fordham Ramsey's the 8th because they kept on giving him alcohol following Fordham wins, and he died of cirrhosis.
On accident.
So he died of liver failure.
Yes.
Jesus.
Did one just eat tobacco?
Yeah. That would be Ramsey's the 4th. He enjoyed cigarettes, not smoking them, eating them. So they fed Ramsey's the 4th cigarettes.
Well,
hilarious.
Arguably the best live mascot of all time with how the rival student sections treated him.
Or his own student section.
That's so
terrible. But by the end, Ramsey's, the last ones, were all living in a 2-bedroom home that was built by an alumni of Fordham just for the Ram, with running water and
amenities. Well, I mean, after all that torture, they kind of deserve it, right?
2-bedroom home in New York City. There we have it.
It's worth $7 million now.
Exactly. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock with Hail Varsity. Podcast is Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or the Hail Varsity YouTube channel.
A Huda Media Production.